you need to find your time away and rest. This is not something that's optional. This isn't something that you have the choice whether or not you're going to heed the commandment of God.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearsons continues his study on A Place Called Rest. The rest that God commands us to enter into is not just designed for our spiritual rest, but also our physical rest, casting all of our care on Him.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I'm thrilled to be with you. It's been a great week so far, and I hope you've been staying plugged into these broadcasts all week. And of course, you know, if you haven't been and you'd like to get caught up, kcm.org. We've got all the broadcasts from this week and weeks past and months past. You can get caught up and get ahead. I mean, you just get yourself into the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and their desire to make the Word available to people. It has been their heart for decades now, over 40 years, to make the Word of God available to anybody who wants it, to anybody who will listen to it, to anybody who will receive it. And they just, they've been doing these things with all their heart. And so to sit here at this table and to be a part of their broadcast with you and to be invited by them is a real honor. And I thank God for that. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're taking the time to get plugged into these things and allowing them to get down on the inside of you. You know, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. That means pay attention to how you pay attention. And there are times I know that you get busy and you've got something on in the background. And, you know, if you're going to have anything on in the background, it'd be good to have the Word going. But don't let that be your only time in the Word. Let there be some time where you sit down, if it's on your couch or wherever it is that you can get comfortable, and just get the Word of God going in your eyes and going in your ears, getting down into your heart. Because when it gets down into your heart, that's when it can come back out of your mouth and begin to change things around you. And that's what this broadcast has been about now for about as long as I've been alive. And I've grown up on it. I know many of you have too. And all of us have been growing up spiritually on this broadcast and so many others like it around the world. I'm so thankful that the Lord has called men and women into His kingdom to do the work of the gospel. He's called us, He's equipped us, and He's given us the power to do it. And really, that's what we've been talking about over the past several days. We're just kind of coming at it from another way. And you know, this ministry and this broadcast and so many ministries like this one have an assignment, and that is to preach faith. Preach faith in God and in His uncompromising Word. Preach faith. And I know many of you have heard those messages on faith. Man, I grew up on these messages of faith. We don't need less teaching on faith. We need more teaching on faith. Now, all this week, you know, we've been looking at the instruction of Jesus found in Mark chapter 6. He sent his disciples out. They went. He gave them power as they went, and they prayed for people. They saw people healed and saved and delivered, and they came home to Him, told Him all about it. And then He said, okay, good. Now it's time to come away and rest a while. And I'm going to say it to you again. I've been saying it for the last 4 days now, but you need to find your time away and rest. This is not something that's optional. This isn't something that you have the choice whether or not you're going to heed the commandment of God. No, you've done good to heed His instruction to go and do. You've done good to heed His instruction when He's called you into the ministry and equipped you to do those things. But listen to the voice, that still small voice, that inward witness of the Holy Spirit when He says, now I need you to rest. Husbands, now I need you to take your wives and your kids and take them away and rest. Let Him restore your soul. It'll do you no good to pray and pray and pray and pray and say, God, I'm just worn out. Give me patience. I've been saying the wrong things. I've been flying off the handle at my wife, or I've been barking back at my husband. God, help me with that. You know what He's going to say? Rest. He's going to say, you have taken your emotions to the very end of how far they can go, and now you need to rest, because as Psalm 23 says, He restores your soul. You remember what he said? He makes me lie down in green pastures. God is saying, go lay down. Go rest. Go get the rest that you need to get built back up. You're not dealing with an unlimited supply of patience and kindness and love here. Those things are restored to you as you spend time with Him. He is the restorer of your soul. Your rest and your restoration are intimately connected to each other. And we've been talking about these things, but we, you know, several days into this, we began to see that our outward rest and the rebuilding of our bodies and the restoration of our health only can come when there's an inward rest. And we saw in Matthew chapter 11 and Mark chapter 2 where Jesus began to introduce this new way of living, a way called grace. Not just grace that you're saved by, grace that you live by. Not just grace for the forgiveness of your sins, but grace to live victoriously over sin. All of that is grace because it's a gift from God to you through Jesus. That's how you identify grace. And Jesus identified it here in Matthew 11, verse 28, when He said, come to Me. You've been leaning on your own understanding. You've been looking to yourself to try to accomplish this, and now you're worn out. Now you're burdened beyond the point where you can't even walk right anymore. You are so heavy. You are so weighed down. And Jesus says, here's your solution. Come to Me. Stop trying to do this on your own. Come to Me. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that. He doesn't say, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you some more to do. I'm going to give you some more to think about. You think what you've been doing is good so far? Here comes some more at you. Oh, you think that's good, boys? I sent you out. You got a few people healed and saved. What about the rest of them that are dying? I don't know why my Jesus got country all of a sudden, but evidently, I don't know. But that's not what He said, is it? Is it? No. He said, when they came back to Him and they had done all these things for Him and through Him and with Him, He said, now it's time to rest. And people who were burdened, when they came to Him, He said, instead of saying, I'm going to give you more, He said, I'm going to give you rest. Your salvation is grace because it's a gift through Jesus. Your forgiveness is grace because it's a gift through Jesus. And just as those things are a gift to you, your rest is a gift from God to you through Jesus. Just let this wash over you. Just let this renew your mind. Because I'm saying some pretty big things here. I am telling you that the work is done. I am telling you that the work has been accomplished and it was completed perfectly through Jesus. And now He gives you the reward of that work. He gives you the rest. God saw on days 1 through 6 of creation, He saw that His work was good. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, what did He do? He rested because the work was done. Now, that's the only appropriate time for rest. Did you know that? It's not appropriate to quit before something's accomplished. It's not appropriate for you to quit just after you started something because it got real hard. The appropriate time to rest is when it's accomplished. And I am telling you that your healing is accomplished. And now it's time to rest in it. Do you see me? Do you see me at rest right now? I am at rest right now, seated in this chair. What does that mean? I have taken all my body weight, I've taken all of it and I've put it on this chair. Now, when I came into the studio today and I sat down in this chair, I did not stand here and or pace around this table for about 10 or 15 minutes, hoping, wondering, wishing that this chair is going to hold me up. Oh, maybe it will, maybe it won't. You know what I did? I threw it back and I sat down. I was confident that this chair would hold me. And here I sit. That's rest. That is a demonstration of faith. God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace, and you, through faith in Him, have a hope for your future. All of that is a picture of resting in what's been accomplished for you. Now, as we finish out this week, what I want to do is I just want to continue to allow the Word of God to paint a picture for you of rest. Because, and I said all that, and I began by saying this, we've preached faith. And I'm continuing to preach faith on these broadcasts, but what I'm doing is I'm preaching the resting side of faith. So you may be well accustomed to that fighting side of faith. You may be well aware of that confessing side of faith, that praying side of faith, that giving side of faith, and all those things are good, but they must come out of this resting side. You know, we confess the word not in an effort to make something happen. We confess the word because we're at rest that it's already been accomplished. I confess, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. I confess that, and I say it, and I say it with enthusiasm, I say it with energy, I am fully persuaded. But I don't say it 1,000 times in a day in hopes that when I get to 1,001, God's going to say, finally, you said it enough, here's your healing. No, that's not why I confess, and that shouldn't be the reason you confess either. We confess, our confession is out of this rest. Confess from your rest. See, that's true because it rhymes. No, it's not true because it rhymes. It's true because it's the Word, all right? It's true because it's founded deeply in the Word of God. My rest for my healing is found in 1 Peter 2:24, found in Galatians 3:13, found in God's introduction to man as I am the God that healeth thee. Hey, he said it. I'm going to take all my weight and throw it on him. And I'm going to rest in his finished, completed work. That's the resting side of faith. Now, when we get into next week's broadcast, I want you to make sure you're really plugged into them, because we're going to begin to talk practically, how do we enter into this place of rest? There are keys, I believe, to entering into this place of rest. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4 that says labor to enter into the rest. And at first glance, you think labor and rest, those don't sound like they go together. I'm going to explain those things to you. But as we finish out this week, as we wrap all of this up, I want to let the Word of God communicate to you a picture of rest. Let me read to you once again Psalm 23. I was so thrilled when the Lord ministered this to me as a picture of rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Just take these words and let them come to life in you. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, Lord, explain that to me. What's that mean? What's that mean? That means I'm not on my own. That means I don't have to figure out where I'm going. I've got a shepherd, and a shepherd's job is to lead. And I take this and I couple it with what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice because I'm the good shepherd, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be at fear that I'm going to make a wrong choice or do the wrong thing. I'm going to rest in my good shepherd. I'm going to rest knowing that I hear his voice, and a stranger's voice I will not follow. And he says, I shall not want. That want, that want that represents a need in your life, every time you identify a need, don't be quick to try to begin to figure out, what are we going to do to get this need met? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? Right then, you have stood up from your place of rest, and you have put all that pressure back on you. But he says, I'm your shepherd. And because I'm your shepherd, you shall not want. When you are your own shepherd, you want for everything. When you are your own shepherd, you want for healing. When you're your own guide, you want for wisdom. You want for leadership and direction. But when he is your shepherd, and he becomes the place where you put your weight, and you roll the care of that over onto him, then you recognize the word says, Jesus has been made unto me wisdom and revelation. I have that in him. So I'm going to take my rest. I'm going to take my rest. Jesus, you are my wisdom. So before I get up and try to figure anything else out, I'm going to come away by myself to a deserted place and rest in you. This is my inward rest producing on the outside. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Listen to that. It is just as much his assignment for you to lie there. At times, you need to learn to identify, when is it time to rest? When is it time to go and do? This is an interesting discipline. It's been something that Sarah and I, my wife, we've learned to walk out in our lives. We love time away. We absolutely enjoy a vacation. We've been some beautiful places, had a great honeymoon, great anniversaries. We absolutely enjoy it. But you know what? In the months leading up, as I mentioned this to you, but as we tape these broadcasts, she's coming near to the end of her pregnancy. By the time you see it, we're going to have a baby boy in our arms. But we really wanted to get away and go somewhere. And I think the new term for it is a baby moon. I don't know if you've ever heard of a baby moon or not, but people just before they have a baby, they like to get away and go have a little vacation. You know what? We wanted to do that. We thought, well, that'll be a great idea. And we looked into this and we looked into that and going here and going there, and nothing seemed right. Nothing seemed like the right thing to do. So you know what? We didn't go. Hey, Revelation, you don't go rest. You don't go spend a bunch of money on vacation till the Lord has said, okay, now it's time for that. Because when you do, then He gets involved and He begins to provide for it. You do not want to be on an airplane if you're not assigned to be on that airplane. That is not where you want to be found without the anointing. That is not where you want to be found without the assignment. You don't want to be in another country or in a faraway land without the favor of God going before you to work things out for you. But when it is assigned rest, when it's time to lay down in green pastures, you can be confident that favor goes before you. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you need to learn how to flow with these things. Don't get into a habit of doing things just out of habit or out of tradition. Jesus said there's no power in the word when you turn it into tradition. So while we're committed to the things of God, we're committed to His assignment on our life, that also means we're committed to rest when He says rest. Now, what it doesn't mean is that Sarah and I are just trying to live on some perpetual vacation where we never have to do anything and we never have to preach or never have to work. Hey, I love to preach, man. I'm not looking for a way out of this thing. She's not looking for a way out of her ministry. An anointed songwriter, an anointed musician and worship leader, an anointed teacher. She loves to do that. But you watch out over these assignments and you say, okay, Lord, is it time to travel and speak, or is it time to stay home, be a mom, be a dad? Be a husband, a wife, a parent, whatever it is. Hear the leading of the Spirit, because as He leads you there, He'll provide for you there. I make reference once again to these disciples that Jesus sent out. What if they had come to Him and said, Jesus, You always get to pray for people. We never get to do it. Why are You the one that gets to preach? I got things to say too, Jesus. Come on, let me preach. If they had come to Him and said that and then had gone out on their own, do you think they would have experienced miracles through their hands? No, no. Do you think that people would have been saved and healed and delivered as a result of their ministry had they not been sent by Jesus? No, they would not have. And I have been in places. I've been in places that were my assignment, and I've been in places where I went because I thought, you know, this will be a good idea. And there's a big difference in the fruit that comes as a result. You understand what I mean? So what I'm saying to you is pay close attention to that inner witness. Lord, where would You have me right now? And you get into a situation like these guys, these disciples, you get into a habit, into a rhythm of ministry, and hey, people are being born again and saved and healed and delivered. It could be very natural just to slide on into that and never want to take a break, never want to leave that. And I know what it's like. I've been there. But the same voice that sent you out is the voice that's going to call you home and rest. The same voice that sent you out to go and do is the same voice that's telling you on the inside, you're only effective in your ministry because My work is completed in you. You're only effective when you lay hands on the sick because you know salvation, or you know that healing is bought and paid for. You're only effective when you make a call for people to be born again because you know salvation is bought and paid for, and it's a finished work. It's this place of rest that makes you effective. It's this place of rest, the resting side of faith, that produces results in your life and ministry. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We've talked a lot about that, but your soul needs to be restored. You're not dealing with an unending supply. Yeah, you put gas in your car a few days ago, but listen, you've driven a few hundred miles now. You need some more. Same concept. The Lord has filled you up, filled you with His Spirit. You've gone out and you've preached and prayed and prophesied, or you've come home and you've been an effective mom or an effective dad, and you've led your home under the leading of the Spirit of God. But listen, go get filled back up. Many infillings, many refillings of the Holy Spirit. That's scriptural. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That is learning how to rest when there's confusion around you. That is learning how to be still and be at calm when there's confusion raging all around you, maintaining your place of rest. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let this just paint a picture of rest. This is the Word of God. This is where it gets good. You, Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I want you to just get a picture of that. I want you to get a picture of yourself seated at a table. And we're going to talk about this next week, and it is going to change your life. I guarantee it. But I want you to get a picture of yourself seated at a table. When you come in and it's dinner time, the bell has been rung, and you sit down at that table, is it time for work? No, it's time to eat. There's just something about working and eating that just don't go together. You come and you sit at a table and you're getting filled back up. It's been a long, hard day and it's time to just get filled back up. And he's saying that there's been a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. All of this going on all around you. And he is saying there is a table that's been prepared. So come and sit. What's on that table? What's there seated before you? Everything that was given to you through Jesus. And I love Psalm 37. Let me read this to you. I've got just a few minutes left here. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord. What is that? Rest. Amplified says, trust in, rely on, be confident. Be confident. I am confident that this chair is going to hold me up. Watch this. Chair's holding me up. I'm confident of it. Be that confident in Him. Be that confident in God, that He's going to hold you up and sustain you. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land. What land? The land called rest. Live in a place called rest and feed, Scripture says, on His faithfulness. So there you are. You're seated at the table, not standing, not running in place, not lifting weights. You're seated. You're seated at the table, and on that table before you is His faithfulness. Now begin to feed on His faithfulness. Lord, You've been so good. You've carried me through every time. And as you feed on that, oh, it begins to satisfy. Some months ago, we were in a meeting, and there was a lady sitting behind Sarah and I, and we were listening to the preacher. You know how a lot of people say, amen, amen? This lady sat there going, ooh, that's delicious. That's delicious. That's tasty. I thought it was funny at first, but now I see. I mean, she's feeding on it. She's literally feeding on that word. Listen to this scripture out of Isaiah chapter 30 in the Message translation, and I'll leave you with this today. God, the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me. Stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. A friend of mine showed me this verse this week, and it just echoed in my heart. This is it. This is it. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me. And then he says, this is what you've been unwilling to do. Don't be unwilling. Don't be unwilling to settle down in confidence. Don't be unwilling to take your rest in Him. I mean, we could spend days and days just going through scripture after scripture that paints a picture of you seated with Jesus, you seated in Jesus, and taking your place of rest. And as we get into this next week, I'm going to teach you how to take your place of rest and never let go. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010, August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Now, as many of you know, Fridays on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast are offering days. And this is something the Lord has instructed my grandfather in years ago. And we take time every Friday to give opportunity for you to hear from the Spirit of God. If He's leading you to participate in this ministry and the outreaches of this ministry, this is your opportunity. But I want you to notice something from the Word. We'll look at Galatians chapter 6. It says this, "Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Now, we've been talking for days now about resting, being confident in God. That begins with an understanding of the Word. And when you see scriptures like this that say, do not be deceived, don't be confused, I want you to let that minister rest to you. And if the Word says, don't be deceived about this, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, he will reap, then you, if He's leading you in these offerings, if it's to give to this ministry or another work, whatever it is, the Lord is calling you to be a part of something, you be confident according to that scripture. You take your place of rest. Lord, I sow this seed and I rest knowing that what I sow will come back to me. Now listen, this is the Word of God. This isn't me putting pressure on you. If you feel pressure, then keep it. And that's a quote from Kenneth Copeland. If you feel pressure, then don't be a part of this. But when you sense the leading of the Spirit of God pulling you in to be a partner with this, to be a partaker in this, then you be quick to obey, resting, knowing, being confident that whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, for those of you who are watching from inside the United States, your offering stays right here and it goes to the many outreaches of this ministry, television, and everything that we've got going on. For those of you watching outside the U.S., your offering will stay in that part of the world and it will go to see the Word of God preached to the country you live in, the countries around you, and it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for being a part of this. I want you to make sure you join us next week. We're going to continue on talking about keys to living in this place called rest. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Stephen Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org.